You know, I've always liked to train. Not in a writing down the numbers sort of way, it's more about looking out of the window in a trance or an altered state as the countryside flashes past. And there's nothing wrong with a form of transport where you can go for a walk or get yourself a beer and read the paper. Can't do that on the M6, can you? I like a railway station too, I like the sense of purpose that you get that's in the air. I got talking to a tramp late one night on a train out of Windsor. A proper old-fashioned long grey bearded tramp with an overcoat belt made out of string. I was carrying a rolled up poster of the Beatles, which a well-meaning relative had given to me. "You like music?" he asked. I nodded. He pulled a harmonica from the bulging pocket of his grey herringbone patterned overcoat and blew us into the next stop, utilising the sound of the clickety-clack of our passage along the tracks as a backing beat. I bunged him a couple of quid as I got off. I paused and turned. "You like the Beatles?" I asked. He nodded. Not really a fair exchange, I thought as I walked away. He's got the poster, but I've got the memory. Now, I used to commute between Manchester and London twice a week, and on one Friday afternoon I found myself in the buffet car alongside someone who had, much like me, started the weekend pretty early. We shared stories over a few drinks before it dawned on me that I'd seen this bloke before, this shorter than you'd think handy-looking geezer, this world champion boxer, this Alan Minter, I ventured. He looked faintly embarrassed, but confirmed his identity. I'm not much of a boxing fan, but there was one night that came to mind. "Marvin Hagler," I said, "you fought him, didn't you?" He gave a silent nod and it all came back to me. Alan Minter's face covered in blood as he was pounded into swift defeat by the brooding and dangerous American. But I couldn't stop myself. "He really gave you a pacing, didn't he?" I said. Alan regarded me coolly, but I didn't notice. "Hey, didn't he beat you up good and proper, eh? Whoa!" I stopped as I looked at Alan and it dawned on me that it may not be the brightest idea to remind a man who's living after all involved dishing out violence to his fellow man, reminding that he was remembered in this fight, by this idiot at least, for being second best by quite a stretch. I swallowed hard and watched as Alan took a pull at his beer. "Yeah," he said with a rueful smile. "Too good for me, he was. Gave me a right beating, didn't he?" "Would you like a drink, Alan?" I asked in quavering tones. And Alan, gent that he was, accepted and reciprocated, and we stayed to close the place. I also spent an uncomfortable 10 minutes on the Northern Line once, being stared at by a sometime pop singer, TV presenter and self-styled arbiter of public taste, who, by the way, has a much more famous sister. And in hindsight, I realised that she'd spotted me trying to figure out who she was and was now somehow inviting me to approach her and say, "Excuse me, but aren't you, ... Some hope. It was much more fun ignoring her. Quite plainly, none of this occurred because of any physical attraction, but can only be explained by fame, by the pop pixie's uncertain place on the ladder of renown at the time and her need for reassurance of her own existence. "Who am I?" asked the famous man. "Am I still famous when I'm off duty, when I've got the guitar off? Does anybody still care who I am when I'm off stage? Maybe they need reminding." This one explains why, when I saw a very well-known rock star in Barbados, in temperatures approaching 100 degrees, that he was wearing a full get-up of jeans, boots, t-shirt, and a denim, that's a denim jacket in 100 degrees F. Then again, I shared an all-too-brief ride in a lift once with Jenny Agutter, and she was completely natural and absolutely charming. And by the way, my wife never tires of hearing that story. Thanks again this week to Boxcar Jeff Palmer for his fab music. Cheers, Jeff.